Diogo Jota, Liverpool's goal-scoring hero, does it and sends Liverpool into the semi-final of the Carabao Cup. And once again, it's that young Irishman, Quaven Kelleher, that is a hero for Liverpool. What a night for him, what a comeback by Liverpool. It's another great story.
Liverpool beating Leicester City 5-4 on penalties to advance to the semi-final stage of the Carabao Cup, of course, where they will play Arsenal and Tottenham are through and they will play Chelsea. Joining us, Max Rushton from Stan Sport and Talk Sport, also to talk all things soccer. And on this occasion, I roll out the red carpet to the great world game man here at SEN right now, and that is Chris Klifounas, who is best known as the producer to The Star, but he loves the round ball game. And Max, I could chew the fat with you about all things football, but I thought I'd get an expert in the studio with me. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, well, not a problem. I've literally just cycled past the MCG. I know we're not here to talk a massive amount of cricket, which is probably a bonus for me, but from where I was, which is about 200 yards away from the ground, it looked like a wicket that will really suit England's right arm, not quite quick enough.
Your pie throwing medium pace attack, is that what you're looking forward to seeing?
Hey, listen, let's not call Jimmy Anderson's your broad pie throwers. That is taking it too far. But yes. Look, I just feel a real sense of optimism, and that, sorry, as I go through a wind tunnel, because I'm cycling to SEN in Melbourne to do drive time for SEN in Sydney. It is live action as it happens, broadcasting for the nation. Anyway, you wanted to talk about football. Okay,
that's well, we want to talk about football. And Chris Klifounas is also here. I'm intrigued by the crowd noise. I mean, can you equate, what is the Carabao Cup? Where does it sit in the scheme of importance inside the English soccer community, Max?
Right. So this happens with a lot of competitions. It happens with the FA Cup, the Carabao Cup. It even happens with, like, the Papa John's Trophy, which is like a game for League One and League Two sides. Nobody cares about it until you get to the quarterfinals, and then suddenly everybody cares about it. And Anfield, right? Anfield is it's such a cliche about, you know, European nights at Anfield or the Liverpool crowd. And lots of football, you know, lots of clubs have amazing supporters, right? They all do. But there is something about Anfield. I don't know what it is, that when it gets rocking, and look, they were 3-1 down. They got it to 3-2. Minamino scored in the last minute. Like, it was a brilliant comeback. And then to win on penalties and for their young keeper. And I work with an Irishman, Barry Glendenning, almost every day of my life. And he has taught me how to pronounce his name a million times. And I think it's Quaven Kelleher is how I would say it. But please, any Irish listeners, if you want to get in touch to correct me, I'm more than happy. But look, that was a really big win for Liverpool because they rested a lot of their players. They played virtually a second string team, which is not a bad team. But Leicester have shown a bit of form recently and are, you know, they played their first team. James Maddison scored a brilliant goal for them. It's a real disappointment for them. It's a disappointment as well for Tottenham, Chelsea and Arsenal, because Liverpool are still in the competition, right? But yeah, it was a great comeback from them.
It was fantastic. Max, Chris here, nice of you to join us this afternoon. Tottenham, the other team, of course, through to the next round, as you mentioned there, 2-1 against West Ham, which does set up our semi-finals nicely now to have Chelsea take on Spurs and Arsenal, Liverpool, much to my chagrin, being an Arsenal supporter. But it does mean that obviously the big teams in this big cup, or small cup, I should say, smaller cup, are making it a little bit more palatable for fans, I guess, over in England and in Australia as well. But wouldn't you like seeing some of the smaller teams making it through?
It's a good question. First of all, I'm impressed with, I didn't realise we could use words of such intellectual heft as chagrin on SEN. I'll bring that in on my show with Bozza later. Listen, what we want is, we want upset after upset after upset. I'm a Cambridge United fan. We've got Newcastle in the FA Cup away. It's a dream tie. We'll make some money. Newcastle are not very good, so it's unlikely we'll win, but you never know. We could. That's like the dream tie. I think for neutrals, what you want is loads of upsets. But when it gets down to it, in the history of the FA Cup and the League Cup, I don't know. Look, Manchester City have won it like 5 years in a row. It's great they're not in it. It's just nice that someone new will win it. I think most neutrals ultimately want to end up with two really big teams playing each other. Disappointing as that sounds, you know, you can tell from like the viewing figures, if Manchester United are in it and Liverpool are in it, more people watch it. But, you know, it's nice to mix it up. You think of Birmingham winning the League Cup, when Obafemi Martin scored against Arsenal. And that was a brilliant moment. You think of Wigan winning the FA Cup, right? And those fans, both those teams got relegated that year. And both those sets of fans said they wouldn't change it. They wouldn't change a thing, because that chance for small teams to win cups is so rare and it's so brilliant. And, you know, ultimately, I mean, as a Cambridge fan who also likes Tottenham, winning is not an essential part of my football experience. If it was, I'd have given up a long time ago. But if you can win a trophy, like, we go on about coming fourth and qualifying for the Champions League, but it's that day out, it's that moment, it's all those things that, in whatever sport it is, they are so vital. You know, you have that moment for the rest of your life, and that's, you know, that's the dream, to see your team win a trophy one day for one of my teams. You never know.
I'm sure it's coming, mate, but maybe not this one, because as we mentioned, the draw is pretty tough. Who is your tip from here after these semi-finals with Chelsea, Tottenham and Arsenal, Liverpool?
Well, what's interesting is I think the semi-finals are in early January.
Yeah,
and it is so hard to predict what team anyone is going to put out. Like Chelsea have had to play against Wolves. They had 7 players with COVID. You know, that is making analysis of football very difficult. Or like we like a narrative, right? We like to sort of talk about players who are in form, players who are out of form, people who are doing well, who are doing badly. But the teams are changing so much, so fast. It's actually really hard. It will make such a difference on who they have available, who they can put out. All those sort of quite boring questions. It's like every team has a huge injury crisis, and that makes such a difference. If Liverpool take it seriously, which they, you know, their squad is pretty good anyway, right? But if they start to take it seriously, they'll be the favourites. Arsenal have hit like a really great run of form, and Arteta's looks like he's got a plan. I wasn't sure if he would, but he does look, you know, he does look good. And like Saka and Smith Rowe and Martinelli are wonderful players. Conte has got Tottenham playing, so you know they are a different beast now, completely. And I've forgotten the 14. Oh, I've done all the 14s. There you go.
Yeah, nailed it.
It's interesting you talk about Arteta. We were speaking about him yesterday. I mean, look, patience has really paid off, because there were people calling for his head, and you know he wasn't playing Ozil, and everyone was wanting to know whether it was going to be player versus manager, who was going to win that battle. He outlasted that, of course. He's in good shape, isn't he? And they've got a young squad as well, and he's putting a lot of support into his youth in regards to his team. He looks like he's going to come out the other end of this.
Yeah, he could do. I mean, what's difficult is, like, what is a successful season if you're Arsenal, right? Because there are a lot of good teams who are really good in this division now. I think he's been lucky in that these young players are really performing for him. And it means the decision he's made about his captain, Emerick Aubameyang, who he skipped to the captaincy. Aubameyang signed a massive contract. It's not unlike the Ozil situation. They had a player they really wanted to keep. They gave him loads of money. I mean, loads of money. And then he just started playing really badly. You know, and I loved Ozil as a player. Like, he just a joy to watch the footballer. But it wasn't working out. And similar thing was happening with Aubameyang. You know, and so he's not in their starting lineup. And that's really helped them, actually. And you know, there is a cliche about young players playing without any fear. But it's kind of true, and it's kind of working for them. And it's going to be very hard to break into the top three that Chelsea are stuttering. Fourth place is fascinating now, because Tottenham are better, Arsenal are better, Manchester United, you presume, will get better under Rangnick. So you now have those three sides. West Ham, who actually played really pretty well against Spurs, and Declan Rice is extraordinary talent. You know, they're not, their form has fallen off a little bit, but I think that'll be really interesting. And if one of those sides, say Arsenal or Tottenham, could get top four, that would be a real achievement given how they started the season.
Yeah, it's tight for sure. And you talk about Arsenal and the youngsters, and Gabriel Martinelli is doing great things for them at the moment as well. One thing we heard Jurgen Klopp not long ago speaking about, the packed Christmas fixtures. Mikel Arteta himself has spoken about them. And of course, COVID is kind of running rampant at the moment amongst a lot of Premier League teams, as you mentioned. Is there a real big push to change up the Christmas fixtures, especially at this time in the season when COVID is running rampant, to try and just give these teams a little bit or release a little bit of pressure from them, because they can barely field a side at the moment, some of them?
It's a really good question, and it's a really difficult one to answer, because we have a big problem. There's no slack in the system at all because, you know, FIFA decided 10 years ago to give the World Cup to Qatar and then found out it was hot in the summer in Qatar and so then have changed the entire international football calendar to accommodate a World Cup in a country that really shouldn't be hosting a World Cup. That's probably a difference. We need 10 hours to do that subject. Yeah. However, what that means is this season is finishing early anyway, because next season's got to start early because of the World Cup, because they've got to have this huge month-long break in the middle of the season. And so there is no slack. And sort of Jurgen Klopp made a good point, which is, if you have a two-week break, well, Omicron isn't going away, because at the moment, there's no fans in stadiums in Wales, because the Welsh government control that and they said no. But in England, you know, I live on Anfield was full yesterday. Like, that's it's so obviously an Omicron super spreader that. Now, look, we hear that Omicron doesn't appear to be as deadly as the Delta virus, but if everybody gets it, that's still bad, right? And so, and I think from Australia, you know, I'm sure like most of your listeners look at the UK, and you know, the fact that, you know, one person gets COVID in Australia and it's a news story, they must be looking at the UK thinking, what on earth are they doing? Like, what is happening? How, you know, and it's a really strange situation. Pretty much all my friends have got it back home, you know, or someone in their family's got it. The whole thing is sort of crazy. I think it will stop when there's a lockdown. And you know, who knows if there'll be a lockdown, but it wouldn't surprise me if after Christmas, they're desperate, the government, not to cancel Christmas. They did it last year. Like, it's, you know, it's a day in the calendar. It wouldn't bother me, but you can see something happening in January or February. And if they have a lockdown, well, then football stops, or at least goes behind closed doors. One interesting thing is the player welfare, right? People, you know, the players have families, they're people as well. And we don't, obviously they get paid extraordinary amounts of money, but that doesn't necessarily mean that their views shouldn't be taken into account. Finally, sorry for a long rant, there is a problem in the UK with the vaccination rate compared to the rest of Europe, right? You know, Italy, Spain, France, Germany, all those leagues have over 90% vaccinated rate. And footballers in the Premier League, it's 84%, I think. And in the EFL, it's even lower. And they are, you know, and that's the problem, right? You need to get vaccinated. I don't need to see your text board now. I know some people will disagree with me, but that is what needs to happen.
Have you made it to the station yet?
Yeah, just here. Just seen seen James the engineer. Might get myself a coffee. Me and Mark Bosnich. I don't want to take away from the Melbourne drive time. Because, you know, ultimately, I'm probably more interested in that one from a personal point of view, because that's where I live. But, you know, if the boss is listening, and I hope if the boss is listening, you know, my incredible dedication to SEN to broadcast to you before I do my own programme. But I'll be repeating everything I've said.
Good on you, Max. Appreciate your time. And people listening up there in Sydney can have a listen. Good on you, mate.
See you later.
Hey, Max.
There is Max Rushton joining us, of course, and you can get him on Stan Sport and Talk Sport as well. Plenty more to come. Thank you, Chris, for dropping in and adding a voice of reason to the World Game. This is Dwayne's World.